Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Labors for Christ, Spiritual Growth and Development. Today is February 27th, and let's chat over coffee and kingdom culture. We are assembling in the upper level of Bethany Union Church at 1750 West 103rd Street. I encourage you to come on out. It is going to be a very spirited time of dialogue, I promise you. We invite you to be a part of the panel as we explore today's kingdom culture, topics that affect us as kingdom citizens. Last week, we talked about fraternities and sororities. They identified them, dialogued in their appropriateness for kingdom citizens. We have talked about birth control. We have talked about many issues that are coming into lives of our members of the body, and how do we navigate through them, and what is going to be the source of our understanding of what it is God would have us to do. And so today's topic will be, should Christians listen to secular music? Music, music, music. As we are often told in the Psalms, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, he indicates the different instruments that are to be used and to bring glory to God. He tells us to meet one another with songs and psalms and rejoicing and dancing. This is how we are to navigate. We're not of the world, but we are in the world. And so what do we, what will be our standard? What will navigate us through this subject of music? We know that music was a very important part in heaven. We are aware that the very enemy of God, the devil, was the we know how he failed. And so these are things that we want to keep in the forefront of our mind as we go in search of, should Christians listen to secular music? We've talked about tattoos and piercings. We talked about many things that are a part of our culture as a people. And now we want to see how they are positioned in our kingdom culture. Tweet about it, chat about it, become a part of the solution and agents of change that God uses in today's kingdom culture. We tell you to come with your cup, your tea, your coffee. Come with your refreshment and your cell phone. And come with a open spirit to receive what Holy Spirit is laying upon the hearts of the people of God. And so we have found in the past that as we looked at these different topics, that it was according to the word and the will of God to be led daily, moment by moment, and as we heard today, heartbeat by heartbeat, by the guidance of Holy Spirit. We have been saying and declaring and decreeing, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We must recognize the ministry of the Holy Spirit, embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and honor the ministry of Holy Spirit. And in doing such, we will walk in the way that the Lord would have us to go. What is your path? And so we have the lines open. You are live and on the air. We are waiting on the physical location to chime in. We do encourage you to dialogue. You just take your phones off of mute when you're ready to dialogue, and it takes a few seconds, so do be patient. And often it may seem as though you're interrupting someone, but you are not, and it's just a delay in the sound waves. Well, praise the Lord, sound waves in our ears. So we will enjoy the ministry of music while we wait on the physical location to chime in. If you have a question that you want to be placed on the table, we encourage you to send your question to the ministry so that it will be a part of the dialogue. And you may send your topic directly to Sherita_Kate@yahoo.com. That's Sherita, Sherita underscore Tate, Tate, at yahoo.com. Get your topic, okay? Submit it to the table for conversation, dialoguing, and examining. Amen? As the author,
give me you. Everything else can wait.
Everything can wait. We will wait.
Give
on
me
you.
I hope I'm not too late.
And that would be done that you do not approve of, Lord. We ask you to forgive us. We surrender and we renounce it, oh God. Connection and ties to us that we might walk in a way pleasing to you.
Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord,
with a word of prayer.
Any prayer requests? Anybody got any prayer requests?
It's Saturday.
Saturday?
For the breakfast.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another awesome day, for this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank you for each individual that is here to partake on this kingdom conversation as we share your heart. As we share our individual hearts, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives individually and collectively. We thank you for providing this vehicle so that we may experience maturation, manifestation, miracles, and momentum. We do lift up this year's AEM prayer breakfast, and we thank you for what you're going to do in that building. We thank you for each individual that will come thirsty, those who have been divinely invited through the power of the Holy Spirit. We lift up those 55 individuals that receive this invitation to this life-changing experience. We thank you for preparing them for what they will receive and how their lives and the trajectory of their life will be eternally changed. We are excited about pouring into them and receiving your grace and your power over them. And we thank you for what you're going to do and what has already been done. Let thy will be done on earth as it originally written in heaven. And let us be recipients of this great glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so our conversation today is, should Christians listen to secular music? And more importantly, should praise and worship leaders have Luther Vandross on their playlist? So let's dive into that conversation. The curl my side, Lord, curl us. So what do we think? Let's let Blog Talk kick us off today. Blog Talk family, what do you think?
All right, Blog Talk, we'll represent it. Take your phones off mute and it's time for them.
Susan, I just feel that makes sense. Come on. You can't read, though, huh?
Shit.
Do you learn how to read? You kind of learn how to read?
I do.
You know, most people that don't have to read end up being poor, homeless, almost dead. There's a life from murder, right? So you can learn how to read. What's that first word?
Okay, well, we're kicking off in the room. All right, so we'll just shut off in the room. Good Christians, listen to secular music.
Okay.
Come on, Pastor KP. You always kick us off. Apostle KP.
You know, as I was looking at that, first and foremost, I do listen to some secular music. I try not to listen to secular music that is going to that's what my spirit man in that's going to have me thinking some thoughts that I need to pull and bind up in my own stuff. So, Luther is not in my playlist. He's a candy. No, they're not in my playlist. And so, but I do understand when we were talking about coming up on this subject, I really had to begin to look at it from you know, why my lens on the subject matter? Because when you start talking about a musician or a praise and worship leader who is, you know, supposed to be ushering in the presence of God, and what have you been listening to prior to, it can taste your whole worship experience. And so it was really something for me to begin to look at on a wider scope and begin to kind of reevaluate this subject.
Deacon Drayshawn, what you think? You're a young man growing up in Christianity, around a different culture, a lot of your friends may listen. What's your thought?
I think. So, plus there's a change in spirit in your mindset and the situation.
One of the articles I read today said that happy birthday to you. And we sing it in church all the time. So it depends on, you know, I think that the words have a lot to do with it. can remember being in the choir and we were singing the gospel song, and then they started playing a little piece of James Brown, and I was like, wait, hold on, what? You know, it like it changed my whole mood, like, stop, you know. So we'll be talking about bringing it inside the church and doing it as part of the worship experience, then you trying to mix in holy with unholy. And to me, that's not acceptable.
Now, I listened to it, and I think the Lord kind of convicted me one day, where I think he did. He did. That, you know, if like enough is enough, you know, you need to get out of this and listen to something that's going to edify me. Even though it wasn't turn it off, don't do it, but you're listening more to the secular music than you are, you know, something that's edifying God.
That was the only thing. I mean, every time I would try to come back from, oh, no, you know, and I will go back to the song I had read, which is then when it was impressed upon me then. It really is just in your spirit, even if you think it's not doing anything, kind of it's lying dormant for that vulnerable moment, you know, when I go to cry out to God.
It wasn't a worship song.
No, it was not a worship song. I'm sorry, it was a secular song. I'm sorry. And it really is, I don't remember her name of singer, but it's I Got the Eye of the Tiger. Probably Dancing Through the Night, Fire, or something like that. I Am a Champion, and You're Going to Hear Me Roar. That's, and so that was really, I was laying there. Those are the, I mean, literally the song, the melody, the beat, you know, and that's, I'm humming and singing. I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's not, you know, and so it really did, and it was there. It wasn't that I had heard it recently or anything like that. It was just, it was there in my spirit. And in my moment of vulnerability, when I caught myself crying out to God, that's what came up in my spirit. So that's what made me check it. That's Marlette. That's Marlette. That was a very, very, very real eye-opening moment for me. And I can say now that when I was in the car with Errol, and before I drove by myself, so I can play the same gospel song over and over and over, and it didn't matter. But he had a different preference of music to listen to. But now I'm really excited to say that now that that's not the testimony of our car anymore, that it really has shifted. He knew on Sunday mornings, no. We on our way to church. We putting that off the court and you're going to listen to the praise and worship song for the day, you know, type thing. And so, you know, not, I mean, and so that's how I realized how important it was to God that I didn't do it, that he changed a natural relationship's preference, you know, who I'm in covenant with, that's not even a desire of his ear, you know, anymore or anything. So that was my process with it. And it really was when I needed to worship and cry out, that's what was in my spirit, and that was a problem for me because it kind of was hidden in my heart, you know, and that was an issue for me. And I know a lot of praise and worship leaders, and then hanging with them and asking, it's like, oh, that just inspires me. And I'm like, that's not gospel. That's not even close to inspirational, you know, or whatever. But that's, and so, and judging, like, yeah, I don't know about you, you know. But now clearly understanding the process, you know, when you have a love for music, you kind of have a love for music, you know. And unfortunately, it really needs to be surrendered to God, so that he can perfect that, because I do love music, and I would say I can listen to country, I can listen, I mean, opera, the weirdest songs. What's the movie? Obviously, it was Looking at the Greatest Show or something, whatever it is, and it was a song in that movie, and we were in the middle of a meeting, and I got chills, like, listening to this woman sing, and it was almost like it felt empowering, almost, hearing her voice and the notes and the melody. I'm not really sure what the words she was saying, but just, you know, hearing that, and it really does draw you. So I understand that, but I think that's why we have to constantly, our flesh has to die daily, you know, and moment by moment by moment, and really putting on the full armor so that I really am protected, you know, as we say, from the snares of the enemy, but even those presumptuous sins and those secret sins that you don't even know, you know, those longings and things that would I give my ear to, being sensitive to that, so that when I do stand before the people in whatever capacity that I do, that that's what's flowing from me, not me getting over what I heard last night, you know, or whatever. So
I think that, too, I was listening to Moody's radio this morning with the crew, and they were talking about how we, little by little, things happen. We become desensitized to certain things. You know, we start off listening to a little of this, or I'm just going to listen to my granddaughter loved the song with the, what was it, Ice Princess or whatever, and she was always singing that song. And I started looking at what it represented. First of all, she is Ice Princess, or what did she have, did she, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so just a little bitty thing, just a little start doing things. And so we start off listening to a little, and then our demeanor is changing the whole time. And then before you know it, that little bit of something has blown up into something. Now you want to listen to hard rock, or you know what I'm saying? So it's just nipping it before it even gets to that point, not becoming becoming desensitized to what's holding, to what's holding.
You can hinder it.
Amen.
Man, this is Blog Talk.
This is a secular rock there. Now, in the class, I teach these kids, and they're listening to, you know, I hate rap. They're listening to the stuff, and they're thinking about the beat. But while they're listening to the beat, the words are going in their head. And then I see how they act and how they talk. So this stuff really, you know, it's like a gateway that the devil will use to influence people if they're not aware, you know, of what's going on. And I think that's what's happening to a lot of the kids now. They're listening to this stuff, and even some adults. And their mindset is being changed and transformed. Listen to the stuff because it's going in your spirit. I mean, it's going in your head. You know, it's going in your soul. You know, and then is it going in your spirit? I hope not. But, you know, it's going in their soul. And, you know, that's what the Lord is telling me. Just like I was at the point where I need to listen to some gospel music because, you know, I'm trying to think of something. And the secular music kept on coming in my head. So I had to back up, you know. I never did feel convicted to not to listen to it, but it's being very selective because some things I don't. And most of the time I'm listening to Moody anyway. But, you know, when I'm relaxing sometimes I will listen to like some little light jazz or something. It doesn't, you know. And sometimes I even have a mix with jazz and gospel. I mean, sometimes, you know, it inspires me. But, dangerous. I mean, it's dangerous, and it's a tool that the enemy does use. And if we're not careful, you know, you can come and inundate it with what, you know, that music is trying to portray. And a lot of it is definitely demonic. It's not godly. It's just nasty. You know. Yeah, it would feel smoother back in the day. Back in the day, it was a little smoother, but they were kind of saying the same thing, but they were nice. Now it's just raw and ugly. Raunchy.
Hi.
Similar to Pastor Marlette, where I remember Lane and was in the hospital that had just had surgery, and when I woke up from anesthesia, was watching TV, and I heard the Lord tell me to take all of my secular music off of my laptop, and it was loaded full of all types of music. It was all mixed in there together. It had some Jesus in there, but I heard him crystal clear say, take it all off. And from that day, he was just began to change my ear to, you know, hear gospel. And just throughout the years, it's been a progression of even being more specific on what type of gospel music or worship music that I listen to, even the artists. You almost have to do a background check on gospel artists now, you know, because that message, whatever it is that they're singing, it comes out in their music.
Oh, wow.
And so my phone now has almost 1,000 songs, and it's all gospel. My laptop is just all gospel music, and it's been that strong conviction, you know, even more if I'm in an environment where it's playing. And I remember even in that process where it would move me. If it's playing in a lounge or somebody's house and with somebody's car that I'm riding in, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that song. Then I remember what I was doing when that song first came out. And it just took me back remembering CDs I made for every occasion and every mood. And it just kind of, it takes you places. But it's definitely been a process as a, you know, praise and worship you know, person, that it's imperative that your soul, that your spirit remains constantly, continually. That I would bless the Lord at all times. That includes what you hear, what you are allowing, you know, in you, and what's in you will come out. So he definitely changed it, and that was some years ago when he told me, I was like, really? Every one of them? Every single one of them, and not one has ever been put on my phone.
You don't want to hear Snoop Dogg and his gospel.
Absolutely. And even the TV that I watch, I
remember being excited with reality TV shows. I would get off work and, like, with Flavor of Love and New York was coming off, be excited, go home, get my meal, sit in front of the TV. And I remember one specific day getting ready. I had my TV on, and I watched the first 2 minutes of it, and it disgusted me. From last week to that day, was like it was a total change. I can't watch it. I can't hear the bickering, the nonsense. I can't take it. So reality, all that ratchet, I can't do it. He completely just wiped that out and changed that. So yeah, it's imperative. And I also have to have that conversation with young people as well. You know, they want to listen to everything and just getting the opportunity, you know, to them hear, you know, the other side of it, how it does affect you even when you don't think it is. And like, no, it's fine. It does.
What
you
know? I'm saying, you know, what is the music you listen to saying? You know, you listen to the beat and you're talking, but what is it actually saying? And when you listen to some of the stuff, it's like we said, it's wretched, it's just nasty. You know, they don't get it because they're just going for the beat and they're walking and saying it.
Blog Talk. Does someone want to say anything on Blog Talk?
Yes,
I was going to go back.
Scriptures that... Go ahead, Elder. Okay. Well, there are some scriptures over there. Hello?
This is Pastor Rogers, and I wanted to say something because I was given by the Holy Spirit also to be aware of the music. But one of the songs when, I can't even think his name now, but Kirkland, that Stomp, Make Me Want to Dance, Won't Clap My Hands. So Satan, you know, he was the mastermind of music. So he comes into gospel music just the same way he did with the enemy with blues. Yes, we go into the feelings. Our emotions go into music. When I was young, I listened to jazz. But when I got older and spent more time with the Holy Spirit, that's something that I do not listen to because I knew jazz would take you into a place where you feel down. And, you know, I think somebody might have mentioned Kenny G, that kind of music. You don't know what spirit it'd take you to. And also opera. I was in the opera house, and I didn't have no clue what they were saying. So I started praying. And the Holy Spirit was showing me some things where we would go to places, and you don't know what the music is saying. Then I think that a Christian should be aware of the spirit could come through them through music, because music is something that words are not used sometimes. And if you're not aware of God's spirit, if you doesn't have the Holy Spirit to guide you and you in a place where there's music and no words, you may not know what's going on. So this is a topic that, yes, I definitely think the young people should be taught, because the music that they're listening to today, we know is not of God, and plain, loud everywhere they go. And some Christians do allow it in their homes, but, you know, if they haven't been taught and made aware of how the enemy comes in through his spirit of music, then that's something that we as the people of God leaders are lacking in. So this is something that we should teach to the children. And there are quite a few scriptures that's on that also.
And there's some scriptures that come to mind as individuals were talking. And I was reminded of one that the Lord showed to Pastor Marlette, that good company corrupts. I mean, bad
good
company
moral.
Corrupts. Hello?
Be not deceived, for bad company corrupts good morals.
Exactly. And then I remember my dad told me the scripture about shun
the very appearance of evil. It may not be evil, but if it looks like it might be. And then the Lord tells us that you can't serve two masters. Either you'll love the one and hate the other. And so those are just some scriptures that came to mind listening to the testimony of individuals being brought into a place of maturity as it relates to what they listen to. And so we can see the wisdom of the word warning us, and we can share that even with our young people or our old people, because young people ain't the biggest problem. Biggest problem is the old people. Because they're the ones, I'll say this, in charge of our Christian training and development. And it's not the young people, it's the older people. And if we don't get it right, then we're setting the pace for error in another generation. And so I think that we have to come to a place of maturity where we allow Holy Spirit to interpret his scripture in our hearts that bring us to a mature place where we will have one of the three heart conditions is we'll have a heart that is for the glory of God. If it's not for the glory of God, then that's just not something that we would desire to be a part of. And as everybody had really mentioned, you get to a point where when you hear or see the things that you used to look at or listen to, when you've gotten to that point, then you do despise them. You don't want them anymore. You can see the evil in it. I'll just say it's not evil, but just the spirit in it that takes you to the path where it says it may seem right for man, but the end thereof is the way to destruction. It's not the destruction, but it's how you get there. And so those are just some of the things that, you know, as we embrace them and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he teaches us, you know, that those scriptures will come alive in what we then listen to and look to and look at and do. That's it.
I had to find ways to, if you're in a car with someone and they're listening to it, and you start before you look around, and then you realize, okay, I need to put my earphones in my ear because it's not, you know, that music. But I love jazz, so it don't do anything to me. But I don't know if I will stop listening to jazz or going to a jazz concert or whatever. But it don't do anything to me in that way. But music like Etta, Marvin Gaye, or Luther take me. So I had to stop and leave all that alone.
Right. That's exactly what I was saying. I want to
But I love music, the instrument that they play in jazz.
Yeah, because I was sitting back there for some jazz. And, you know, I could just start thinking about the glory of God and, you know, how God bless me. And
well, I am thinking about the glory.
It doesn't do that, but some of it, you know, some music will take me to a place and I leave that alone. You know, I don't mess with it. I mean, take me to a place.
We got you.
I think we have to look at what are the reasons why we.
Well, shouldn't we be balanced?
And so, Mom, I guess that's what I'm going. I think too many times in the world we're looking for emotion, and then in the church we want to come out and look for that same emotion, and the pendulum swings both ways. And so I don't know who it was that mentioned about the song Stomp. If you look at the career at his career at the time when that came out, he was struggling with pornography. Mm-hmm. So it was after that, and if when he talks about in his life and I think interviews with him and his wife, after he dealt with that issue, his music switched back. And then somebody else mentioned about even who's singing the song and looking at their history.
Mm-hmm.
Because certain people can have, it can be great music, but it's a spirit behind it. Like back in the day, Sexual Healing, that was my anthem.
Mm-hmm.
That was my anthem. I played it all the time, I can tell you. But it was later when I realized that Marvin Gaye was really troubled sexually. He was sexually addicted. And so I play that song now when I do certain classes because that's the perfect sexual addiction song. When you start breaking it down and looking at it, what's going on. And sometimes it's the beat of the music. I will listen to certain things, but only going so far because I have a 16-year-old son. And though we don't allow it in the house or the car, and we have to constantly fight with him, but you get it at school. You're getting it. You're changing it. What's the guy's name? Meeks, Miles. He did a song that had some gospel words in it.
Right.
But when you listen to it, I mean, it was dangerously whack, okay? And so I had to have a discussion with my son and my younger nephews about, well, he's mentioning God. Just because he's mentioning God doesn't mean it's a godly song. Look at the other stuff that he's saying. Also look at his character and some of his other music, how he portrays women as well. And so I think it's a combination of all of those things. And so if God definitely convicts you about something, go with how God is convicting you. And so sometime in our ministry, it's listening to certain things just to keep an ear of what's going on so you know how to combat it and you know what's there. When it comes to a Luther or somebody, I would say if I was married, that'd be one thing for me to listen to versus me being single. And the mindset, nah, it doesn't bother me to listen to it the way that it used to, and I put a whole spin on it. But if that's all I was sitting listening to and the mindset that can get you in. Another example would be if you want to cry, there's certain gospel music that you can put in to put you in that sad mood to get that emotion and that crying versus worship. And so it's the same thing with worldly. And so, again, for me, it goes back to why am I listening to this? Because do I just want the emotion to have, and sometimes we do just need a good cry, but do I want the emotion and not the conviction? Do I want the emotion without doing stuff? And for me, it was the same thing out there in the world. So as we're listening to certain things, we will have to draw, of course, some lines. So I don't know if it's totally wrong as a Christian to listen to secular music, but we have to be careful. Another example, some of your younger ones, too young to remember, is Phyllis Hyman.
Yeah.
And she was deeply emotionally disturbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a spirit of suicide in her music. Yeah. She eventually committed suicide. And I knew so many young people who were troubled would listen to her music over and over again. And so, again, it goes back to what you were saying. What is the spirit behind it? There's gospel artists, there's several that a friend of mine, he goes all over the world singing, and he would be like, I can't tell you how many times we're waiting backstage or behind the church or the theater, and such a gospel artist is getting high. They snorted coke, they're doing this. Go up and tear up the audience. People getting delivered and say, but that's the emotional spirit that's behind some of what it is that they're doing. And so, and then I'll say this and shut up. There are two well-known gospel artists, and I don't want to put, but they've been in a lesbian relationship for years. And so there was this big debate that I was having with somebody about, but what's wrong with it? Their music inspires and moves me. But if you know the background, if you have ever seen them in concert with each other and they're singing sometimes these duets, God is nowhere in it. They're singing to each other. If you recognize the spirit of what's going back and forth, and so when you know better, you do better. And so for me, it puts me in a whole different place. And then again, I know the leadership in the church that they're in as a whole is really crazy of what's going. Because the one person, she's a bishop, and she has transsexuals and cross-dressers in her leadership. Wonderful gospel singer. I've heard her preach in different, she's also an AIDS activist. I've heard her speak, and wonderful, but there's a whole different spirit behind it. So
when it draws emotionalism, and I wonder sometimes, when you're moved by the emotionalism, and are you really saved, or are you getting baptized because you're emotional? You feel this emotional, but you don't have a deep down conviction of who God is and what he's done. You know, so a lot of people with that spirit, like you're saying, they'll get their emotions going, and so that they say that draws them to Christ. But is it the emotion and not the conviction, like you were saying? You know, so
and we'll know
that's dangerous.
As soon as you get in trouble,
yeah,
because emotion won't
you ain't gonna get you nowhere. Exactly.
Kind of eye of the tiger when you need them.
You don't have any fruit right up and down. You'll be like that seed that fell on the rock. The sun came out and dried up and died.
And then the music has a lot to do with it. I mean, you know, it's like the old blood song. You know, back in the day we sung, and those are the heart-wrenching, you know, things that people experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole different thing than what's going on now on some surface.
Mm-hmm.
And then as opposed to listening to some, like you were saying, secular music, the same thing. There's a spirit behind some of that. And it'll draw the emotion. But then there's some, you know, that I find that's uplifting. It's not so much the songs with words, because I kind of got away from, but I look into jazz and musical stuff. You know, and most of it doesn't. I've never heard anything that brought me down. It's always kind of
feeling. And I can remember with praise and worship where it was certain songs we couldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And certain singers we couldn't because it changed because of the lifestyle of the music and stuff.
Absolutely.
That's like that song, My Sweet Lord by George Harrison. And they start off saying, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah. But at the end of the song, they're saying, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Right.
Yes. If you listen to the song My Sweet Lord by George Harrison, at the end of that song, they're chanting Krishna.
See how
slick it is? In the beginning, they're saying, My Sweet Lord, it sounds good. I really want to see you and be with you. And then they talk about Jesus Christ. And at the end of that song, they're chanting, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna. Yeah. And they sing it in the church. I've heard it.
Spirit in the sky, they dancing off of it in the tavern when I was young. In my 20s, there was a song, Dorothy Morris, going up to the spirit in the sky. And it was straight scripting, but people had a good time dancing because of the beat. So a child of God knows when the enemy is in a song. That's my belief. And there are certain songs that the world system, we are the world, we are the children. That's a song that should be utilized because it's giving you the facts of the truth that we should represent that we are the children of God. But it's a worldly song. But what they're saying, Christians should be singing it and saying it, because if you listen to the entire song, they're saying that the world would be a better place if we just start giving, living, loving. So I think as Christian leaders, we should be aware of what's going on in music, and whether it's jazz, blues, gospel, because the enemy is coming through gospel songs just as fast as he's coming through well, not as the rap, and but the jazz song, because jazz is flowing off because this rap music is coming out expressing how an individual feels. And most people are feeling down now. And it's connecting not only in America, the rap music is going all over the world. So at such a time as this, where we have been giving the knowledge of past and also the future, we can, you know, continue to elaborate with our younger people that they would know what they're listening to. That's what I'm getting from this conversation tonight, that I would definitely be more with my grandchildren. My children are grown, but the grandchildren right now, and to what they listen to. And
sorry.
Be aware of what they're listening to.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you look at, listen to some of this music,
a lot of it was political.
But then we listen to that's the way of the world, and they're saying, you know, what, that you're a child of the world.
Okay.
Are you a child of the world or a child of God? I mean, maybe it's, you know, that's just a mute point or something, but I listen to it sometimes, and some of the things they say and some of the symbology that they use is, you know, it's kind of worldly. I mean, it's very. I mean, when you look at the symbolism on the albums, and then, you know, it's paganism. A lot of it's very pagan.
But, so Brother Seal talked about if he was married, he would listen to Luther. Luther could be on his playlist, right?
Listen to Ozzy Boys every night.
Okay. What's that piece of gum? Thank you. So, thank you. I'm sorry. And, Elder Cummings second that emotion with the Isley Brothers. But, you know, just putting it out there. So if we're married, and I'm assuming we're talking about listening to these certain artists to enhance the mood of intimacy, is that something that should be the backdrop or the driving force of a very sacred ordinance of marriage? Should we be having sex in secular music if sex is ordained and created by God?
No.
Amen. That's a good one. Go on, Pastor Pete.
Go on, Trish.
It will take you there.
Where?
I mean.
No, I'm not being funny. What does it take us?
I mean,
if they go in with the secular music and not with intimacy with God.
I'm sorry, I just want to reiterate what Pastor Diane just shared, that if you're going with the secular music for intimacy and romance with God, you're going to end up with Rosemary. Overseer, if you can just one moment, Blog Talk fam. Did you get my text?
Sure.
So the question was placed in the room, so what do you listen to? I'm good with the answer. Oh, she's really leaving. So we're losing leadership. Who leadership? Who leads that one?
That's going to be a counseling session.
Amen. I'm sorry, Blog Talk, you were saying something?
Well, no, I was sharing the facts of intimacy and marriage in Christ. And it's so like Christian to put God in one place but not acknowledge him in all places. And he is just as powerful and real and able and willing to do for you in the doctor's office, in the courtroom, as well as in the bedroom. When you acknowledge him, you will understand the intimacy that a record can't take you to. Because this intimacy is a divine one created by the one who created intimacy to begin with. So he better knows to make your marvelously created body respond in harmony as it should in reality. And so I think that when we acknowledge him in all of the areas of our life, including sex and bed and marriage and all those things, we'll find that he really is a God that is concerned about everything that we are concerned about, and that he will withhold no good thing from you. He knows his promises, and we need to understand his power in our life. And I think that because we have been taught to not really integrate him into our lifestyle, you know, we do religious things, we do holy things, you know, but holiness has to come from Genesis through Revelation. And when you understand that and his desire to be a part of every aspect of our life, you will understand he don't need Luther Vandross. That's all.
Big Luther, no little Luther.
Come on. Luther went in the garden and Adam
died. We're fruits and berries and the noises of nature. So maybe that's what we're looking for. Amen. Brother Steele, please.
But if you're depending on whatever to stimulate you and there's no love there, I disagree that. If you're listening to that as a, because again, so then, what are we supposed to do as a Christian? So if I can't listen to the music, that means me and my wife can't go out anywhere to dance or do anything. You can't go to a concert. And so I'm not saying that those things need to be the stimulus, because if I'm waiting for that to be the stimulus, the same way we're talking about worship. If I'm working for that emotion to come, even if I'm in church, that's still a problem, at least for me.
It should be your love for your wife.
Exactly. And so that comes alongside, not in place of, if I'm loving her as a man of God, as Christ loved the church, I'm not using her, I'm not listening to the music to use her as an object or a fact. And I guess my question would be, then what are Christians supposed to do?
That's what I've been saying since we started this class.
Can I address that for a minute? And I think that as Christians, we will grow to understand that we don't have to settle for anything that the world has, because we have every gift we need in heavenly places. Those gifts aren't just for preaching and teaching. They are for living, and they are for modeling our lives so that others can understand the power and the magnificence of God. And one of the most key things is in relationship. And when a man and a woman will commit to each other and have Christ in the center of it, you can't imagine the intimacy that he can bring forth in your relationship if you don't try. If you can try him, and he tells us, try me, and see, won't I do it? Just try, just test it. You say, what is a man and woman supposed to do? Go before the Lord and ask him, what should we do? If you go and ask, he will show you. He said, if you ask, you'll get it. You'll receive it. I'll show you. He longs to show us all of the greatness that he has for us, not in being rich and famous, but the great emotional longing satisfying us, the longings of making a fulfilled soul of what real love is. Man doesn't really know real love, and I mean man being mankind, okay? And so those things that we desire to give, unless we give them through him, then they're temporal. If we give it to one another through Christ, then they will establish something that is so beyond us, more than you could ever think, hope, or ask for. And that's in every area of your life. He's not, don't compartmentalize him to just this part over here while I go to minister. Bring him home.
Maybe.
Bring him to the bedroom. Take him to the bathroom. Wherever you need him, he's there. And he will do just as awesome there as he does in the church service, if you will. Okay? And it really is, and people should ask, because you don't know. But those of us that have gone there and know what he will do, then we will share. You know, and I, you know what, I have, I wish Bishop was on the line, but I, you know, I will challenge any couple when they get married, just try God one time, just one time. Take them in your bedroom. And you'll understand. Yes, yes.
He'll even do more at home than in the congregation, because it starts
absolutely
in the home. And then he teaches that when you at, you know, we have a tendency to bring the music and all the stimulated, but he's, most people turn the lights off. No, you want to know who your partner is. So you when you intimate with your husband or your wife, God will teach you. Look in the eye of the person. You don't need to call nobody by the wrong name or think you with somebody else defiling the bed. So Chris wouldn't have to be taught, yeah, love making is a spirit, and you must know that it, you with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And not the enemy, because you bringing all them other people to the bed with you. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That was one thing. But it's so much when it comes to intimacy in your home.
Yeah.
I was agreeing with Overseer when she was saying that we tend to go to what we know. That was the way we knew. And so when we get old things supposed to be passed away, and then when we come into the knowledge of who God is, you know, the Holy Spirit's job is to teach us in all ways, in every way. And so that's the area that you have to begin to seek the Holy Spirit and say, okay, I know how I did it way back when, but now that I know you, teach me how. Show me how, you know, to do what I need to bring intimacy in my bedroom. And I can remember the Lord distinctly telling me when I was saved and asking God to salvage my marriage. And God told me, you got me in every room except for the bedroom. You closed me off.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to leave me in the living room. And so just learning, you know, that God, he made sex. It's he created it.
That's
it.
Yeah. He knows it.
That we don't even know, you know. So seeking him and asking the Holy Spirit to show us so that we can get out of an old way, you know, an old mindset.
Yeah.
That area of my mindset become new as well.
I think that's a classic.
You
can
take the whole different
direction. No. Get ready. What time is it?
No, but again, I agree with all of that. As a man of God, if I'm loving my wife as Christ loved his church, if I'm being the head of my household with all of that, and I'm not saying leave God out of any part of that, but I don't see anything wrong with respectfully that not dancing when I was trying to get up on you to see how far I can get with you. Okay. Then with my wife, we're dancing and doing that before our children, respectfully, and show them how it could be done. Mm-hmm. What music, and being that example, because otherwise they're going to get it out in the world and showing them there's going to be boundaries and limits. Sure. I don't think abstinence in all situations and all cases is the right way to go. Because I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything by not going to the club. And I think I've shared to you guys before, like at our church right now, our leadership will marry you if you're going to have dancing at your wedding.
Okay.
Or alcohol. I can go along with the alcohol part. But when are Christians supposed to celebrate how they're supposed to celebrate And when we look at some examples from the Bible, weddings were 3 days.
Wow.
It wasn't, and there's a difference between if I'm gonna get married and I'm got a stripper pole in the middle of the floor and everybody's twerking versus couples are being respectful and dancing, and you set that tone that this is the type of music and that is going to be. So, yeah.
I think it, you know, so for me and my shut up.
My goodness.
But for me, I guess my personal conviction was it really was, does it glorify God? This whole process is since what was the first class? You jumped us off. You know, this whole session was, it's like, well, my goodness, I can't do this. We're not supposed to do that. Then we went to the liberty and freedom. If it's liberty for you, then you rock it. But if it's bondage for you, you can't do it type thing, you know. And so for me, it really was. So for me, dancing was a big thing because I loved to dance. And so it was just like, but does what the dancing that I prefer, and even what's it called, interpretive dance and some of the dances we see in the church and whatever, does it glorify God? At the end of the day, so I get it. Twerking is a clear thing that we can say,
no.
You know, probably, I'm going to imagine, doesn't really glorify God. Just shut up.
Marry your wife back.
I mean, when we renew, let's go. So that was my thing. So that was very difficult. It's like, okay, so what exactly you want me to do? So I can't go see this movie because it costs. And I clearly know that if I can't sing that this girl is on fire, then I by far can't allow profane language into my spirit. You know, so it's just like, where is that, you know, where does that leave us? What am I looking at? Am I looking at the reflection channel where the scriptures come up and the soft, serene music, you know, to urge you into a nap? You know, that's really the way it begins to feel. Well, no, but I mean, that really, yeah, good. That's really the way it begins to feel, you know. And then if you do it, if I listen, it's some music. It's couture looking like, oh, look at Pastor Marlette. Oh, look at her singing that song. Oh, look at her doing the line dance. So, you know, whatever it is that, you know, a what? Girl, yeah. And I'm very good at it. I learned how to do it. You know, but it doesn't glorify God. So for me.
So if you and your husband doing that.
No, it doesn't glorify God.
How does it not tell me that's your conviction?
I said me.
Okay.
I said me. I'm sorry. I thought.
I think I'm on with Steel. If me and my wife is out and we are out and we're in a healthy relationship, we love to just
out
walk, dance, whatever.
So if you're out in a place and they're singing between the sheets. Not singing, but like the music, you know, like you're out at a dinner bar, a dinner, whatever, and they're playing in between the sheets and you're sitting there and you start, and you getting into it. Does that glorify God? That's my point. But again, I'm not trying to make my conviction anybody else's, but does the dancing, we were talking about dancing and music, does
God glorify, I get up and walk away and say, oh, my God.
Say that again? No, I didn't say to get up and judge. Oh, God, thank you. Teach me how to respond. This is Marlette. Teach me how to respond in an atmosphere like this to where I don't make my spouse feel some kind of way. Oh, my wife can't do this either. Okay, here we go. He just said he was with his wife.
With your wife and you're celebrating your love.
But if you're celebrating the God-ordained love, how do you back that with things of the world? That's like getting a prophetic word and trying to translate it through, but I only get $30 in my check, and you told me to give $100. This is, again, my... He's on a whole different field. Oh, I'm sorry. Because you're
horrible. My husband and I had a jazz concert, and we're just sitting there and
listening
to music, and what's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with
it. Okay.
And it ain't convicted me because some things are convicted to other people. They can't do it.
So I don't know, but I can speak for me. So then if that is me, I can only speak for my left. Okay. So if that is me and I'm sitting and I'm listening to the jazz music, am I trying to emulate something in this relationship that I've seen? Where am I trying to get this moment to go? Are we just trying to have pure enjoyment from the moment?
Not no physical or nothing like that.
So
but the instruments that they're playing,
and the Seal Plan and the different.
Then listen to the instrumental songs
and
the Tasha Bob.
I'm just coming back over here. They can't hear.
It makes it right when a Christian does it. So
I don't know what you mean when a Christian does what.
So we got Christian jazz artists that are Christian that are. You know what I mean?
You asking Marlette or are you talking about for you? Oh, okay. I mean, I think you guys used the example last week that there was a gospel song that may, or maybe a secular song that somebody made gospel, or a gospel song somebody made secular. You know, so.
We took a Gladys Knight song and changed the words around. Because, see, I see, we're bordering on the line, at least for me, if you don't leave me. I have some other friends that say at no point should a single man and single woman have any contact whatsoever. So when I see a apostle, we give a hug, an appropriate hug. I'm respecting her office, but we're also respecting. But I think that's a healthy thing for other people, you know, to be able to see. But there are some people that say, no, you shouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no touch whatsoever. So again, how do we mirror what is appropriate? I think we do a good job in the church of what's not appropriate. How do we mirror what's appropriate? So we're sitting down telling our kids, and is it realistic to say, for me to tell my 16-year-old, okay, yes, you can't listen to it in my house and in my car, and we have those discussions, but how's that preparing him for when you get out there and the world? We just had a conversation. He's getting ready to go on his first date Saturday.
Hey. Oh.
And luckily the young lady's husband said, before you take my daughter out, I need to meet you and I need to meet your father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so have that conversation with my sister, who's his grandmother, and the mothers know each other already. But I was asking him, he said, this is just a friend. So as just a friend, that means you're not holding hands, you're not trying to touch or do anything else, and so you're going to watch a movie. At the end of the movie, I said, what if she leans in to kiss you? Well, I got to, how do you put it? I got to follow through with what he said. I said, no, because you're not interested in her that way. But more importantly, you're only 16. The only reason why you should call yourself dating is to get married and all that. He's like, but I got this, Dad. I got this. I have stuff myself cussing. No, that's the thing. There's adults that don't have that bullshit. Come on. You know, I got this. No, you don't. And so when he doesn't know, we already have a plan in motion. Whatever theater you're going to, we may drop you off, but we're going to be in the theater, too. We got eyes on you. We got eyes on you.
Oh, Lord. Is that okay?
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm talking about that because some of the students think, because you're not coming to say, man, no. But you ain't going out. And I said, yeah, I'll go. He said, well, I'm looking for someone to marry. I said, why are you dating? What's the reason? You know, they talk with these young men about that. What is the reason why you want to go out?
Mm-hmm.
To jump on somebody? To get to know them? What is the reason?
Mm-hmm.
And you get all a plethora of it. But, you know, I said the bottom line is you want somebody that you're compatible with and you know, you can get along with and love. I said, so how are you going to do that? And you jumping, you know, you jump. you're not building a relationship.
You're not building.
So if you can't get along with each other and not, you know, do anything, how are you gonna get along with them? Because you're distracting them. You're being distracted from who that person is, and they just a piece of meat. I mean, you know, talk to the kids back. Yeah.
Going back to the what we were talking about a second, what about the gospel music? And I think about the way you're talking about.
Hold on.
But what about the gospel music that don't always edify God?
Absolutely.
How they jam so much, it don't feel like they're in the way the attire and everything else. I've watched, you know, some of the gospel Stella awards and whatever,
okay.
And they, I mean, you don't even always know if gospel music
or not.
So
I think we talked about that. We talked about inspirational music came up, or, you know, the music that's just kind of that level playing. It doesn't, there's a song that we used to play, not like to do in the morning. I think it is like to do in the morning. No, I don't think it's, well, I don't know who wrote it, but we used to, and one day we were playing, it was playing, and we were listening. It was just like, yeah, that doesn't talk anything about God. I mean, it doesn't mention, it never says God, it doesn't mention the Godhead. You know, so when we listen to some of the words in it, I was like, oh. You know, you just became more sensitive. I think somebody said that. We became more sensitive, sorry, to what we were playing and to what, you know, some of the music was communicating, or the spirit behind the music that was communicating. So I don't think anybody was Xing out music that is slated as gospel music or inspirational music or whatever as being something that's always okay to allow in our spirit. So, Prophet, I think you may be the only one, or Lady K, who haven't weighed in. You want me to come close? I'll come close. You a millennial?
Millennial?
Yeah, come on. Give it up.
I'm not going to lie. I still listen.
We don't want you to lie. We're going to take it off.
But I don't listen to that mumble jumble stuff. Like, you know, my generation, it's a bunch of mumble jumble. Like, okay, like about a week or two ago, I just went to the Toni Braxton concert. But it wasn't like, you know, like I'm cussing or whatever. I'm just enjoying the music. Like, I feel like music back in the day more can relate to me than the music that's from my generation. But I'm, like, as I'm going closer to God, I find myself listening to more worship music. But, again, like, I might listen to 106.3 every now and then, too. Like, just to, like, they got, and then, like, it was funny yesterday, like, last night, like, you know, I still like R. Kelly music until, like, last night. I still, like, I actually watched some documentary, and I was, like, really disgusted with him now. Like, after I seen them women and what they said, like, unless you've been through situations like that, it's like you really can't relate to, you know, what's going on. So now I feel like some type of way about him, and that's a whole other story. But
so it sounds like a lot of personal conviction. It is. We know what we are, and as we grow and mature in Christ, he takes us in whatever direction he has for us. Prophet Michael Henderson.
I think again, a lot of it is relational. I think a lot of it is relational, that God will lead and guide and direct you. I agree, acknowledge him in all your ways. I definitely believe that God is intricately, Psalm said he has intricately woven us. You know, everything about us, it's some stuff in us that we don't know about ourselves, because created in secret, waiting to be revealed. And it may be that you like to dance.
But as a prophet, how is that for you? How is that a prophet? If you listen to the circular music, you know, and your ear inclined to the sound of heaven and releasing it in earth and all that good stuff, y'all do.
I agree with that. I think that music definitely has weight. It has words. And so you do want to be sensitive to your spirit. I think anyone in relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, he convicts you. He checks you and lets you know. I think that there comes a point where, you know, your spirit can't stand some of it, just the wording of it, the sound, the tone, all of it. So I think it's a balance on both. There has been what we call gospel music that I don't listen to because it's self-worship. You saw the best in me. It had nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with it. Never would have made it. It's all about me. So, you know, there's things that we listen to. I think that that goes both ways. So I definitely think it's relational. And I think Overseer said it the best, that if we would acknowledge him in all our ways, he would direct our path. And I don't know if God's going to always direct us from what we believe is what we think is just not him completely.
Very healthy dialogue, Brother Field.
But I think it also implies that we as Christians don't know the lines of demarcation and boundaries. So if I'm out with my wife, or I'll say my girlfriend, I'm going to be respectful. Like, I always open the door for her. I put her coat on.
we may kiss, how we set certain boundaries. Like we don't French kiss or anything. We set certain boundaries in place. I think for a married couple, then how you're respectful and loving in public, you're going to be different when you're in the bedroom behind closed doors, because that's entering into the realm of intimacy. I think a lot of what I'm hearing, we can't distinguish. So I'm out in the club and I hear a song, and automatically I'm going to jump from I'm enjoying my spouse or my girlfriend, and then I have no self-control, and just because the song came on, my spirit leaves, and I jump from enjoyment to intimacy. I'm stronger than that. I'm better man than that. Now, once upon a time, no. I've been playing with you. Right, you know, But we know the difference, and again, how do we show the world differently, the young people differently, that I can be in these settings? Now, that doesn't mean, and I'm not saying that I'm going to go out to any club or any situations, because we know there's certain places known for certain things and where you go. But if I'm going out to, you know, dinner and dancing at a particular place, different versus the hole in the wall, or going back to somewhere, like I stepped back into a club, and it was innocently because I was searching for one of my young men died, and his mom used to be the bartender in the club. We went during the day, but as soon as I hit the door, my spirit said, "Thank God I removed you, because you know you will never be a part of this again." And so I understood the difference, and not that I was ever drawn. And so, again, I don't think we give ourselves that we have matured and evolved. And I'm not saying that we put ourselves in temptation either. But I think we're mature in Christ than what we think or hope we are, that just a song is not going to light our fuse and blow up and destroy or whatever, because we get bombarded with stuff all the time. You're driving down the street, a billboard, you in your car listening to your gospel music, and somebody pull up next to you, and they're talking about whatever, blankety blank, the one, you know. Okay, we can't block all of that out, but we can control, and if we're constantly feeding our spirit the right thing, and in intimacy with each other and setting those boundaries as we get to know each other, because young people and the men that I start with, most people not even out there for sex. It comes about because I'm lonely. I'm lonely, you lonely. We think that the sex will, to get it, you're empty, I'm empty and lonely, and we come together and we consume each other, not on purpose. I think as we address some of that, those issues too, you know, that's going to lead us to something else. But again, you know, and that may lead to another. What are Christians supposed to do? If I can't listen to music, I can't dance.
You Google it for us, still, and bring it for us next week.
You know, so.
Serious? No, I can't cut my hair. I can't shave.
I can't shoot, I can't do something, and I don't mess with those who do. Then what?
Read your
Bible, go
to church. I'm taking that. I'll master that. Amen. Blog Talk, do we have any other comments?
I don't think God focuses on what we can't do. He just wants us to know what he told us to do.
One moment, Pastor Daya. Okay, please, start over.
I said I don't think God wants us to focus on those things that we feel we can't do. God wants us to do the things that he told us to do. And if we can focus on what God has given us instructions to do, that other stuff will fade away, and we'll be all zealed up to glorify God. And there, it's like what he told Peter. Everything God made was good, but when we take it out of content and see the enemy is so
smooth, you can go out and be a witness. You can go out and do a maybe dance, but not get up there and dance like you're on your way to hell, because God will let you know if you're dancing the wrong kind of dance. So and when I was young, I was told don't do that, and so that's the kind of God we serve. But I think if we focus on the thing God has told us to do, then we won't have time to do. But I always call it the law. If we focus on the love and kindness, we don't have to focus on thou shalt not. So,
amen.
I enjoyed the conversation because that love making and that sex is another whole conversation.
Come back, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Apostle, if you can give your closing remarks, and we can.
Okay. Can Blog Talk say one thing, please?
Sure.
Thank you. I know someone asked, what do you tell your kids? What can your kids do? Well, if you don't do it here, then when they get out. But I think one of the things we have to remember, again, from Genesis to Revelation, he said if you raise up a child in the way they should go. So when someone said that, I thought about Timothy. Timothy's new verse for this year was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so it's like, if I don't believe that, and I have him say it, I mean, we have to live that before him, or then the scripture won't mean anything. And so when he says he'll add, and Timothy said, well, what's all these things? That's all these things that we're talking about. And if we seek him, everything that you think you want, he's going to give it to you, because he's a God that gives a gift. And, well, what on earth are they going to do? They're going to get out there, they're going to make mistakes just like we did. And God is going to forgive them, but they know what to do. They know it's in them. Holy Spirit is in them, and he will lead them into all truth. It's a process, and he will lead them. But we have to first set a standard before them, because if he don't have nowhere to lead them, then they'll be end up, in the prisons and in bed and all of those things. But we have to give it to them and then believe it's true and live that before them. So when he says that scripture, and then he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own understanding, and then he will direct your path. And so we impart into our children and our young people God's truth, and then we encourage them to trust God. Just try him, because God ain't going to fail. You try him, he will go out. And you will find, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. And so then they will have been able to then walk in a path with God on their own. Not with, because we can't take them everywhere. We can't follow them. But the word is always in them, and it'll bring them to a good place in God's time. In God's time. And we're not to judge their process. We don't judge another man's servant. God is the one who submitted to perfecting each and every one of us in his time, according to his will and not our own. And so we have to trust him to do that. So I don't have, that's one of the things, and I know I'm going on and on, but I hear, and you say, what if? And I share with Timothy, there's no ifs with God. He already knows the plan. And he's giving it to us. You don't say, what if this don't happen? What if that? No, that's not, we walk by faith, not by what if. And when we want to know how, he said, ask me. And I fell. And that's it.
Do you know next week? I don't remember either. That's March, so something different.
Like I said, Mom, I agree with you. Oh. But from what we're talking about today, then that means as my son is 16, he's going into his senior year. That means I should tell him no, he shouldn't go to prom, because there's going to be secular music, there's going to be dancing, and so again, it goes back to
what to do. We could train them up and all that. But I think
trust God. Just
go ahead,
trust
Mom.
God. I'm just saying,
I mean, we
God. Just,
but Mom, when we were 16, 17, and 19, Mom, we wasn't listening to trust God. And so if I'm restricting him at 16, tell me, you can't even go to the prom and it's a chaperone thing. As soon as you get away from me, you're going to bust hell wide open.
And I had to pay for it. She wasn't giving me anything.
You know, so
when I was 16, I couldn't afford to go to the prom.
Trust
but that's
that.
How we were. I was 18. I couldn't go to prom, and she wasn't paying for anything. So if I went, I was grown. I made my own choice, but she wasn't giving me or participating in the process of getting her daughter ready for prom.
All
righty.
What did you say, Bernie?
One moment. There's a Deacon, Elder Cummings is talking. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry.
When it's old, you will not depart. So it's not illegal. That he, you know, there it seems like there's a gap there. When he's old, so as he gets older, then he will not depart from it. So it's like, you know, there's the time where they go out and then they come back. I mean, I looked at my parents trained me right, and I busted hell wide open. And with the dance,
right.
I mean, I was out there, but I came back. And, you know, I came back and then turned my life over.
Amen. Apostle, can you please give us any closing remarks and we can go?
We know. And then you came to church the next morning and repented. Move on.
So we've had such great dialogue. And I think the summation of it is, I don't know that any one person, every person's process is their process, and we each have a responsibility to in all our ways acknowledge him. And if we can, in our process and journey, say we've acknowledged him, we waited for his response, and we acted accordingly, then to God be the glory. So I think I don't want people to hear a variety of different things and then make your conviction my conviction or make my conviction somebody else's conviction.
Amen.
Because we cannot live on other people's conviction. They have to be what the Holy Spirit, for the route that he's taken each of us. And so while we may have some strong opinions, or there may be a house or a church suggestion, you know, okay, I hate to say rule or whatever, as it relates to pick one of these very unique topics we have had, it definitely has to be, okay? If it's a house rule, then we got to govern ourselves accordingly because that's what we're submitted under. And then everything has to be in all thy ways acknowledge him. So if my conviction for today is out of 40 years of relationship, somebody else's conviction may be out of 4 months of relationship. I can't expect, one can't expect me to do what they doing and them to do what we doing or not doing. And then I think the other thing that we forget is not, it is, while it is relational, it's also positional. Mm-hmm. Your position in Christ may say you can't do it. While your position in Christ, because of who he's made you, that's not where he's working on you yet. Or that's just not, no, that's not important for the assignment he has for you. But this thing may be important for the assignment. So I think position and relationship and then the role, not occupation, the role that we serve in Christ. So it may be that, you know, the role that you serve Christ in this season dictates that you have to give up the right for the wrong. So it may just be some stuff that you have a liberty to do that you can't do because you're the ambassadorial prophet. So it isn't that it's a sin, but it's a sin for you because of the position you serve in. And so I think those are things that we just have to take into consideration and be sensitive to that so that we don't become dogmatic, you know, Mr. Sinner wear makeup, so, ooh, you going to hell because you got on lip gloss. Kind of, whatever the gender may be. You guys are taking me there.
Sometimes what we do is we let other people's liberty can't be our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be
you can't be influenced by somebody's liberty and or conviction.
Right.
It's in all your ways. Acknowledge him. Okay? And so not be swayed by the power of public opinion or the circle or the pressure, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And whatever he needs you to do in that moment, because what he takes or requires of you today, it may not be the same tomorrow. So it may be that this particular place you were in, you couldn't do A, B, C, D. Not that A, B, C, D was a sin, but for whatever reason, the Lord didn't want you to do A, B, C, D in that place. And you may go to a different place, and that's not the case. So it's in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Well, this has just been wonderful dialogue. So, and so I believe next week we are looking at what we do. Clearly, prayer wasn't helping y'all. Or y'all wouldn't be in these dilemmas. So, clearly, prayer was not doing it, okay? Did the music bring us to this point? I don't think it's, honestly, Elder, I don't know that it was the music that brought up the passion by which we have communicated. I think that it is our relationship with our flesh. And so what we hear is there's something that I do or don't do that's on display and being judged, good, bad, indifferent. And so we're responding to that. Because just in case I should be able to do it or just in case I shouldn't be able to do it, it's a choice that I feel like I have to make in this moment when it's in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. So I believe next week we cover the, so if a leader has been displaced or replaced, set down, or you guys want to use artists, whoever you want to use, it doesn't matter. Should we still listen and utilize their material and understanding the importance of addressing that kind of thing? So if, you know, you still use, I'll use Charles Stanley, it's easy. And I was using Charles Stanley because it was safer. But okay, so do we still listen to Eddie Long's messages, his tape, and his music? His tapes, music, messages, books, given his process. Okay.
But he's a
capitalist. Yeah.
He was a member of the
family. So just beginning to look at that, because I think that those are the kind of things that you're going to have to make, you're going to have to address. I think the same thing with music. Somebody said, you know, like Snoop sings
gospel music. Now, do you listen to it?
Oh,
yeah, it's got some songs with Ram Salad. Yeah.
Can you listen to Nicki Minaj and Tasha Cobb?
Can you listen to Tasha Cobb? So, these are the kind of things that you have to, I'm just saying, so this is what you're looking at.
Okay.
So, but more specifically, next week, focus is leaders whose path was too broad for the narrow way. So what do we do with that? So let's look at that and be prepared to interact and dialogue. And you all have been great, and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good night.